If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy, book of 1 Timothy. One of the books called Pastoral Epistle. Reason why it's written to a pastor. And Scripture reminds us that there is a purpose not only to the local church, but a necessity of it. And a lot of questions have been arising. Why even have a local church? Well, Scripture just chock full of ammunition for that. And if you look with me in 1 Timothy, as he begins to write Timothy, who has a particular place, he's actually been called to be the pastor of the church at Ephesus, which is kind of an interesting match in and of itself. But if you look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, it reads this way. As I urge you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, in order that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, not to pay attention to myths, endless genealogies, which give rise to speculation rather than furthering the provision of God, which is by faith. The point is that the Word of God is literally guarded by the church. One of the statements that he makes, if you turn with me into 2 Timothy chapter 1, is he calls upon Timothy to retain the standard of sound words. Read it with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the treasure which has been entrusted to you. A pastor has been called for the very purpose of guarding sound words. Why is that so necessary? Well, we know that men love to stray from these things and make a lot of things discussion. In fact, if you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, I need you to instruct these people to stop doing this. And his statement goes on in verse 5, the goal of our instruction is love. What he's stating is that we actually have a reason for what we're learning. What church does for us, a local church does, is it allows you to practice the very things that you begin reading. Otherwise, it just becomes a theological or theoretical debate. The things that we learn are interesting, unique, maybe even make us feel smart. But unless they're put to practice within a real circumstance, real situation, real place, then what is the reason for it? We understand that men like to go to fruitless discussion. If you look with me, it says in verse 6, for some men strain from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion. They want to be teachers of the law, even though they don't understand either what they're saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions about. In other words, they don't know how this really even applies to their lives. If you go a little bit further in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says this in verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine, does not agree with sound words, watch the phrase here, those of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the doctrine conforming to godliness. See, there are a lot of doctrines out there, a lot of teachings about all kinds of things, but does it change you into the image of Jesus Christ? Is it making you like Christ? The goal of our instruction is to have the love of Christ within us. Is it changing us? As you look at Timothy, you see that there's a necessity for these things to be practiced out, not only in the local church, but in the home itself first. Go with me in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, it is a trustworthy statement if a man aspires the office of an overseer in a local church. It's a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. Watch verse 4. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. If a man does not know how to manage his own house, how will he manage the household of God? You begin to see that there are real situations in which these things need to be practiced. We read a little bit further. It talks about deacons in verse 8. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine, not fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Watch verse 10. And let these also first be what?
Tested.
Where are they going to be tested? In the local church, right. Let them first be tested and let them serve as deacons in that local church. It is a place of testing. It is a place of practicing out the very thing that you say you hold so near and dear to yourself. If you look in chapter 5, it says this. Don't sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with all purity. Honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first practice piety in regard to their own family. See, it begins to establish a sense of order. In fact, we understand why this particular letter was written. If you back up in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he writes this in verse 14. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, but in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, in this faith, that you become a living pillar. This thing called church is a place in which we live out our faith in a very practical way. And you've been given gifts so that you might minister to the body of Christ. You're not just here. None of us are just here to just listen. We're here to minister to one another through the power of the Spirit of God, that our faith might be lived out. And we begin to recognize these things in each other. And we affirm one another. We encourage one another. We build one another up to present every man complete in Christ, so that we might then minister to the world, to those outside the church. As it talks about deacons as well as elders, they must have a good reputation to those outside as well as those inside. This is the place in which family begins to sharpen each other. And so the wonderful necessity of the local church God has called. Father, we give you thanks for your word that stimulates us to love and good deeds. Lord, we pray that we would treasure your word in our hearts, that we might not err against that which is so marvelous for us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.